Welcome back to the Nebraskan Bank Podcast. We have an awesome episode for you today. We sit down with Lauren Cook West. Lauren was an All-American setter for Husker volleyball from 2010 to 2012. Today, she's the Husker Sports Network color commentator for volleyball broadcasts. She's a writer and is also well known for her own podcast, Conversation with the Cooks. This is an amazing episode. I really enjoyed getting to know a little bit about Lauren, hearing kind of the behind the scenes about her relationship with her dad, Coach Cook, and how life has changed since he's become a grandpa. And she shares some really heartwarming stories and some incredible insights about Husker volleyball. So we hope that you enjoy this episode as much as we did. Hi, I'm Danielle.
And I'm Ty.
Together, we are hosting the Nebraskan Bank Podcast. We promise this isn't some boring bank podcast.
That's right. We aim to entertain. Listen in every other Monday and we'll tackle topics like finance, business, sports, community events, and maybe even a course or two of great food finds.
We're always community minded.
Every voice.
Every topic.
Every time. So turn the volume up, settle in,
and let's talk Nebraskan.
Well, Danielle, it's been a little while since we've been up here in the Nebraskan Bank podcast studio. What have you been up to lately?
Well, today is day two of the bank's 10-week wellness challenge. For our listeners, the bank has a wellness committee, and we plan things throughout the year to help keep our employees healthy. And I selfishly created this challenge because I needed something like this to get me back on track before summer. So I actually reached out to Tracy Robinson, Tracy Trainer of the Wellness Journey, and she helped create a program for our employees where it's a 10-week weight loss challenge. They can team up with either a bank employee or a spouse or individual family friend or compete as an individual. And at the end of the 10 weeks, the individual and team with the best results gets a little cash in their pocket. So Ty, I was so excited to see you and Jackie sign up for the challenge.
Yeah, well, I need to sign up for the challenge. But, you know, I've known Tracy Trainer for a long time, and she's a great trainer, and she comes from a very good perspective, from a health perspective, I think. And so, no, I'm excited for this. And, you know, I haven't had a chance to gloat about my big Super Bowl win, which, by the way, I might have predicted, like, not even just the winner, but how the Super Bowl was going to break down.
I don't know how you cheated, Ty.
I'm kind of proud of that. I've been accused of recording that after the Super Bowl, but anyway, we all know where the truth is. But anyway, so after winning the big, beautiful breakfast that you cooked for the loan officers and all that chicken wing talk, I think I need a little bit of a weight loss challenge
yeah,
here.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm excited to participate. I mean, we're a very competitive group here at Nebraskan, so it's going to be a lot of fun.
I was going to say that. It's Tracy is so great. And she's definitely so focused on like one step at a time and healthy weight loss. And it cracks me up because here we are at the bank. Everybody's like, how are we going to win? And we're strategizing and trying to figure out like what the other teams are doing. It's funny. It cracks me up.
Yeah, we definitely have a little side couples wager going on too. Well, actually, we decided it's not a wager because it's more of a challenge between us, right?
Yes. Yeah. For the couples, we've got about four couples here at the bank that are competing, so we do have a little side challenge, which should be a lot of fun. And Jared is actually participating with me. I'm so proud of him. He actually went out and went on a run last night, and that's never happened. Maybe a handful of times in our entire relationship. So he's definitely got his game face on.
Oh, yeah. I think everybody's coming to compete on this one. So I know that if there's a day where I'm losing a little motivation, I'm going to have my wife riding me because she doesn't want to lose either.
That's awesome. So I worked out actually Monday and Tuesday this week, and I can hardly walk. I'm so stinking sore. And there for a while, when I was in high school, I ran track. And so running is one of my favorite forms of exercise, but I'm so out of shape that I'm going to have to like work out in order to be able to even do that at this point. So I'm so far behind. But Ty, what do you do for workouts? Like, did you play sports in high school? And does that translate to your workouts today?
You know, I wasn't that much of an athlete when I was younger, but I loved to play growing up. I loved to play tennis, loved to play golf. I loved to play football too, but I wasn't that good at it. And I was better at playing tennis. And so I had to give up football to play tennis in high school. But I loved to play basketball, but I was always a little too short and a little too slow for that. Because, you know, back when I was in high school, Nebraska or North Platte's basketball team was fantastic, like state runner up, fantastic. And so I was never quite good enough for basketball, but I've always loved to play golf, and I love all the hunting and fishing and outdoor type sports. So, you know, translating that into being in your mid 40s and the exercise thing, you know, I'm a big golfer, like all the outdoor stuff, like to bike ride, you know, just to mix it up. But with my short attention span, I kind of have to do something different every day. So that's the key for me.
That's where you... Tracy talks about habit stacking. That's where you need to listen to your podcast while you're walking or riding your bike or doing those things. It's multitasking.
Yeah, I was kind of impressed with her habit stacking philosophy, where you take a habit you do every day and then you add something else to it. So I'm learning some things from Tracy.
Well, I think let's jump into the episode today. I think our listeners are really going to enjoy it.
Okay, well, we have a special guest today from the bank team. Last week, Hans Julius, our ag lender, came for episode 6. And now for episode 7, we have Kim Schroll, the chief operating officer and one of the founders of the bank, with us today. So thanks for joining us, Kim.
Well, Ty and Danielle, thanks so much for letting me join you, because I'm telling you, I didn't sleep last night because I'm so excited for this conversation with Lauren. So thanks for giving me the opportunity to be involved. And our special guest today is Lauren Cook-West, and we just are thrilled to have her on. And anyone who knows how to spell volleyball in Nebraska knows who Lauren Cook is. And so she really doesn't need any introduction. But Lauren, thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you for having me on. I'm Kim, you know, I would do anything for you. I met you a few years ago, and I feel like we've kind of formed a neat relationship. And I love North Platte. And anytime I get to go out there, it's such a special place. So I'm just honored that you guys chose me to be on today and represent a guest on your podcast.
Well, you are incredibly sweet, and I so enjoy you. I have told Ty and Danielle several times, you're just a beautiful soul, and I just enjoy you so much. And, you know, maybe Lauren, to give our listeners just a little bit of background about your volleyball career. I mean, you know, 3 state high school championships, freshman of the year out at UCLA, such an amazing career as a Husker for 3 years, an All-American professional volleyball player who would have made even a bigger impact had not an injury. You know, out of all of that volleyball experience, what was most memorable to you, or what are the blessings that you found out of volleyball?
I think the most memorable part of all my entire playing career was being able to play for my dad. And not everyone gets to do that. And we really haven't talked about it a lot publicly, but we tried to keep our relationship. You know, it was, he's the coach, I'm a player, you know, it's not father-daughter. But looking back, I mean, how many kids get to say that, first of all, you know, that they went and played Division I volleyball somewhere, and then let alone play for their, you know, their father or mother or whoever, you know, family member. So I think that's just something that, looking back on my career, it's not a lot of people get to do that. And it was just really special. And thinking about the, you know, all the time and that we got to spend together in the gym and the trips that we got to take and, you know, some of those big matches that we won together, those are memories that I'm going to have with me for a lifetime. So I think that's just something that is very special to me and that I'm going to hold with me for a long time.
Well, and anyone that watched your interactions knew how professional you were in that relationship on the court and on the team. And I know that you worked hard at that. And I think it's just very special that deep down you had that to enjoy with him, and especially a sport that you both love and have loved your entire lives and your family has loved, obviously, as well. I've always wondered, have you ever thought about following in his footsteps? I mean, your volleyball IQ is off the chart, you know, and you... know so much about the game, you obviously playing, know all the positions. Have you ever thought about following in his footsteps?
I have briefly thought about it, and then I see what he goes through on a daily basis and all the stress that he's under and the big decisions that he has to make, and I want no part of it. So he's had to give up a lot. I mean, you brought up some of those high school state championships. There were a few of those that he wasn't even present for because he had to be on the road with, because obviously Nebraska season's in the fall and high school volleyball here is in the fall. And so, I mean, looking at it from a, now that I'm a parent, missing my, you know, such a big event for my child, I can't imagine how hard that was on him. So you know, putting myself in his shoes and thinking about getting into the coaching world, I just don't want to miss out on experiences like that and be under that amount of stress. And I think it takes a really special human being to coach, especially at the collegiate level. I think he's done it so well because he's just built for it, but I think it just certain people have it. And I'm not one of those people. So I'll let him take the coaching spotlight and I'll sit back and support him.
Well, and you've really made a name for yourself. I know how much everyone enjoys listening to your commentary during the Husker broadcast. You know, the writing that you've done, the podcast that you've done, you know, you've really, I think, found your niche. And so kudos to you for listening to that inner voice as well.
Thank you. It's crazy how it all worked out. It kind of just, I have no experience with broadcasting. I never imagined that I would be doing color commentary. And then one day it fell into my lap. And they literally, I remember my first match, I had no training. They hooked me up to the headset. JB was right there. I mean, JB's been doing it for 50 years. I mean, not 50 years, but I think it's like 27 years. So he's been doing it forever. And he's like, okay, you ready? And I'm just looking at him with, you know, these wide eyes, and I feel like I'm about to vomit because I'm so nervous. I can barely breathe. I'm like, okay, do I know how to talk? Do I remember? I mean, what sport is this? Is this volleyball? I mean, I think I blacked out for that first time I was on the air, but fell into my lap and I loved it. After I made it through the first match, and I've really enjoyed just the experiences that it's brought, being able to, you know, travel on, well, we're not traveling this year, but, normally we charter with the team, we travel with them, we're there for team meals. I mean, so I get to spend even more time with my dad, and it's just neat being able to see how the team interacts now that I'm kind of outside of the program and older. And so it's just cool to be a part of all of that now. And then we started the podcast because we wanted Husker Nation to be able to, you know, get to know us from a more personal level, especially Coach Cook. I mean, people look at him and see, you know, this stern face, and he always looks angry and never happy. And, you know, everyone just says like Coach Cook seems like he's a bump on a log. Well, once you get to know him, he's one of the funniest people. I mean, he's just so enjoyable to be around. He cracks jokes. I mean, he's very, just a lighthearted type guy. And so we wanted to, for, you know, the Husker Nation to be able to see the side of him that I get to see all the time. And then writing, I was writing for a few years with Hale Varsity called The Lowdown. And with that, I just wanted people to, Husker Nation is very knowledgeable when it comes to volleyball, but I feel like there's so much more that we could be teaching, or that I could be teaching Husker fans. And so I was just trying to break down simple volleyball terms and how, you know, different things that Nebraska does, or a day in the life of a Nebraska volleyball player, things that aren't talked about, you know, in the Journal Star and the Omaha World Herald that you're not hearing about every day. And just explaining that more in depth to Husker fans. And I hope, you know, through the podcast and through my previous writing that, you know, I was able to, I guess, expand volleyball knowledge throughout the state of Nebraska and, you know, even beyond Nebraska, because I know we have fans outside of Nebraska. So that was just my goal with all of those. And I enjoy doing all of it, but I did not go to school, or I was not prepared to do any of those jobs. So it's kind of cool how, you know, one day I was working at a bank, and then the next day, you know, I'm doing color commentary on the radio. So it's crazy how life works.
Well, you have done an outstanding job of educating the Husker Nation about the ins and outs of a volleyball player, especially a setter. And I think that's why I enjoy so much listening to your color commentary and the inside of the team. And maybe, Lauren, if you could talk about the team this year. I mean, talked about stacked with talent. I mean, Lauren Strivens, probably a likely candidate for All-American, Nicklin Haynes, Lexi Sun, Maddie Kubik, you know, freshman of the year. I mean, we're just stacked with talent. How do you feel the team culture is this year and how they've responded to some of the challenges that COVID has brought?
I've said this before, but I think the most successful teams at Nebraska are not the ones that are, you know, have all the talent, but it's the ones that have the best team chemistry. And yes, this year does have a lot of talent, but they've also been presented with a lot of challenges. And I think because of their team chemistry and how close they are and how much time they spend together, you know, in the off season and then outside of practices and matches, has helped them be so successful this season. But I mean, Lauren Siverin should probably be up for potentially Big Ten Player of the Year. I mean, she's leading the Big Ten in hitting percentage, and that's tough to do. I mean, the Big Ten is, in my opinion, and I think in a lot of other people's opinions, is the best volleyball conference in the country, hands down, and the toughest to play in. So the fact that, you know, she's a middle only playing three rotations and has one of the best hitting percentages, or has the best hitting percentage, I mean, she should definitely be an All-American. She probably should be Big Ten Player of the Year. Then you have, you know, Lexi Sun. She's another one who's, I think she's received Big Ten Player of the Week a few times this shortened season. You know, yeah, you mentioned Maddie Kubik. Nicklin Hames has changed a lot of her setting techniques, and I think she's taken her game to another level. So just a lot of, I guess the only area with this team that's kind of had a question mark all season is who's going to be on the right side. And we saw the year or the season start with Riley Zun. And then we saw Jazz Sweet a couple of matches, and that was a big surprise because, you know, Jazz was a 3-year starter and a national champion, and she got beat out by Riley. And then Riley got hurt. And so now Jazz is back in playing, and she's had a couple really nice matches. So I think in order for Nebraska to go deep into the tournament, which I'm assuming they'll be in the tournament, I would be very, very surprised if they don't get in. But if they are in the tournament, I think if we have a right side who can really terminate and play consistently, then Huskers are going to do, you know, make it to that Final Four and potentially a national championship.
And you spoke of that with Jazz, a 3-time starter, and that tells you the high level that we have of play at Nebraska, and also a lot about your dad's leadership and how he builds a team and his recruiting. You know, I mean, look at the recruiting class. I mean, wow, you know, the top three and one of them from just down the road at Omaha Scud. I mean, I know he's looking at him at a very young age, but I think the talent today just says a lot about his culture and his recruiting process.
I kind of feel sorry for him because he's going to have so much talent. I mean, if Lauren Stiverin's, Lexi Sun, Jazz Sweet, if they decide to stay around for next fall, since this season, I think, is technically doesn't count against their eligibility, then you have the top recruiting class. I mean, this was the best recruiting class, maybe out of any sport ever, 1, 2, and 3, all committed to Nebraska. How are you going to figure out who's going to play on the, who's going to be your starting six? I mean, he's going to have his hands full, and then trying to keep all that talent happy. It's, you know, you do recruit young. And one of the reasons why they recruit so young is because they're trying to plan for, you know, 4 years out, 8 years out. And okay, you know, we have a setter graduating this year, so we need to bring a setter in this year. And then we need to have a backup here. And I mean, people don't really see the behind the scenes of recruiting and how much thought and effort and planning really goes into it. I mean, I thought planning my wedding was stressful. You should see their recruiting board. I mean, it's like, there's so much going on. They have a big whiteboard and they have it all written out. And it just takes a lot of work to plan all that out. And now due to COVID, it's just going to completely change all of that. So I think we may see some players transfer, some players who are unhappy, who want playing time, but it's a lot of talent that he's going to have to manage. And I know he'll be able to train all of that talent. It's just, can you keep everyone happy? And you know, all of those players should be playing. So but you only get to play 6. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in the fall.
Lauren, related to team chemistry, in watching the NCAA basketball tournament, there's been a lot of dynamics with the conferences, and there's been a lot of topics about which conferences were more prepared, less prepared, whatnot for the tournament because of the compliance with pandemic standards. How do you feel the Big Ten is sitting going into the tournament? And what's your opinion about potential conference dynamics just because of the different management protocols of the COVID?
It's going to be really interesting to see how the NCAA handles seeding for the tournament. And then for some reason, volleyball is only allowed 48 teams, which I don't understand, because basketball got 64, and why can't volleyball have 64? I mean, volleyball right now is the top high school sport for women's athletics. So it's not like, you know, volleyball is a sport that no one's ever heard of or no one follows. I mean, people love volleyball, people support volleyball. I think they actually, tickets for the semifinals and the finals went on sale today. And I think they sold out within an hour. So, I mean, it's why can't we have a tournament with 64 teams? I think that would help, but because there's only 48, I mean, I have no idea how they're going to take into account, because some conferences played for volleyball played in the fall. I mean, like Texas, for example, I think they played 10 to 12 matches in the fall, and then they played, you know, some in the spring. So how do you look at a team over that amount of time? And then you just have, you know, the Big Ten who just played in the spring. I mean, it's there's so many different things that we could talk about with how this is unfair. I mean, let's take Wisconsin, for example. They're probably going to be Big Ten championships, but they've played one match in the last 5 weeks. So how is that fair? They also didn't have to play Penn State. They didn't have to, they played one match against Minnesota. They didn't have to play Nebraska. I mean, they didn't have to play some of the top 10 or top teams in the Big Ten. So how is that fair for them to be conference champions? So just with seeding, I don't know how the NCAA is going to do it. I'm sure a lot of people will be unhappy, but I was looking at the RPI standings, and I think that's, they partially pay attention to RPI. And I don't really understand how the RPI works, but I think one of the teams that was above Nebraska was like University of Milwaukee, which, no offense to that program, but I didn't even know that was a Division I program. I've never even heard of University of Milwaukee. So there's an example. If the NCAA does, the selection committee does look at the RPI, I mean, there's a team that's above Nebraska. Should they be above Nebraska? No. Are they playing in a better conference than Nebraska? No. I think their record was like 8-6. So it just makes no sense. Again, I don't know how the selection committee is going to do this fairly. It's just because of the year that it's been, but I would not want to be on that committee, because I think they're going to get a lot of heat regardless. And it's just, that's a tough job to do, because how do you look at all these different conferences and they're all playing, you know, different amounts of matches, and it's just going to be a mess. That's the bottom line.
You know, though, I think when things get messy like that, the teams with strong culture, strong leadership, and strong chemistry are the ones who are going to rise above some of those things. So I'm very excited to watch this year's tournament. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I just hope that, you know, some of those teams that do have, you know, the strong cultures and this, you know, have shown that, like an Ohio State, for example, they've really turned their program around, and their team chemistry is really strong, and they've had an amazing season. Are they going to make the tournament? Because they're now, they've dropped down to the middle of the Big Ten. I mean, I don't know. So it, you know, a team like that should probably be in the tournament, that would probably do really well, and I think would have a successful run. Who knows if they'll make the tournament? So it'll definitely be interesting.
Well, let's hope that any lessons learned, we don't have to use those in the future, right? and we're back to normal in the fall.
Exactly.
Well, and Lauren, you have contributed to the fans out here in Western Nebraska, because you've traveled out here for us at our Mid-Nebraska Sports Banquet. And so the following that you have out here with Husker Nation out what we call West, you know, you contributed to that, and we're just so grateful for that. But fans out here really love to travel to Lincoln, you know, for any sport, but I know volleyball especially. And so I think maybe that leads into our discussion about our banking product, of how our customers can bank when they're away from home.
You know, I actually hopped on to use our Card Valet app today, and that's one feature that, it's an application that comes in super handy when you're traveling. And I found a setting that I enabled today where my debit card won't be active unless it's within a 5-mile radius of my phone. Mm-hmm. And I just thought that's amazing. It has a ton of different like transaction things that you can modify, or if you lose your card, you can turn it off using mm-hmm. that app. So that's one example of a product that we offer that when you're traveling, it comes in so handy.
Like, I had a friend who was at the high school basketball tournament, left their card at a restaurant, and so called me real quick, and they said, hey, get on your Card Valet and just turn it off. And then when you find it, then turn it back on. And when you're traveling, just having that convenience is really important too.
Absolutely. It can completely transform like a moment when you're in complete panic. Yeah. You can be like, okay, take a deep breath. I have control of this. Right. I can just turn the card off and I don't have to panic. Take a deep breath. You can find your card or whatever. So yeah, there's just a lot of different features that we offer. And I think COVID brought to light a lot of that, or at least taught a lot of people who maybe weren't comfortable using the technology. They were kind of forced to use the technology. So I think it's an interesting place to be, and it's awesome to have all these conveniences and to have the know-how to, to use it all.
Well, and we have a lot of students that go to the east end of the state to go to college. And so they can certainly bank from home. Ty has a student in Lincoln. I have one in Kearney. You know, if they happen to get a check, they can deposit it. They can watch their balance. Note to my son, you need to do that a little more often. But, you know, it's easy to bank from home. And so as the Husker fans from the West are traveling to the east, it's easy to continue your banking.
Yeah, well, I think one thing our bank is very committed to is making sure that our customers can go support those Huskers, volleyball, football, baseball, basketball, and you name it, and their banking can be taken care of from afar. And that's important to us. So now we have Lauren on here, who's kind of a big traveler in your normal job in the non-pandemic world. You'd be traveling a lot. So can we quiz you a little bit? Is there banking services you like to use while you're traveling? Is there things you like to do in your app? Or what can you tell us from a customer perspective?
I do everything online. And you guys are, I may need to bank with you guys. You guys are selling me here. Can Lincoln people bank with you all?
Absolutely.
We may have to switch our accounts over. I'll talk to my husband after this. But I do everything online. So I deposit checks. I check my accounts. I move money around. I think you can pay people, like pay a family member or someone else online. So I just think in this day and age, everything's moved online now. And we hardly receive any mail. I'm like, do we need to check the mailbox? And Jason, my husband's like, what are we getting in the mail? We don't get any bills because we pay all of our bills online. So, you know, we can go another week without checking the mail, but I do everything online and it's great. And it's easy. It makes my life easy.
You know, I think what's so important to us is we know that if somebody is traveling professionally or traveling with their friends and family, they might just have that 30 seconds to take care of something that's important to them banking wise. And for us, it's first making sure the technology works. And then second, that you have the support here. Or if you have trouble or you want to learn about a different function, we're here. You can just pick up the phone and we'll help people with it. So we view part of our job is making the banking easy, so people can go support the Huskers, travel professionally, and do the things they need to do. Mm-hmm. I do have one other question back to volleyball a little bit. You have to tell me what win number 600 was like for Coach Cook and and for you being part of that.
Okay, so for win number 500, that was, I think, like maybe over 2 years ago. Can't remember. No, 3 years ago, a while ago. Maybe longer than that. But anyways, for win number 500, I got him these, like these big balloons that said 5 and then 00. And I got him some, there's this place in Lincoln called Warm Cookies. And have you guys had the Warm Cookies when you've been in Lincoln?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Favorite. They deliver them to your house. They're nice and warm, all gooey. And he loves chocolate chip cookies. So I got him Warm Cookies. I had the balloons set up in his office. So he comes up after the match. And he was pissed. He's like, why did you do this? Why did you put up balloons? Why did you get me cookies? This isn't a big deal. You know, it's just another win. It's just, you know, it's just another match. And I'm like, okay, I'm just trying to celebrate you, make you feel special, make you feel important. So for 600, I'm actually calling all of the matches remotely. So you hear me on the air. I'm actually in my basement. And then JB, my partner, he is actually in a studio in the Haymarket. So we see each other, you know, through Zoom. And then we're somehow, the producers and the guys that run the dials behind the scenes, they somehow connect us. And then I'm watching a video feed. Well, anyway, so we're not at the match for number 600, which I was a little bummed about, but I'm like, I'm not going to do anything because when we hit 500, he was so mad at me for making it a big deal. So I just congratulated. We do like a post-game interview chat with Coach Cook after each game on the air. And I just told him that I was really proud of him on the air and congratulated him. And he actually told me thank you. And he seemed like he was appreciative of me congratulating him. But he's really not into like awards, you know, big win milestones. That stuff isn't important to him. It's just developing young women to be great players while they're at Nebraska and then go on to, you know, be amazing mothers and wives and, you know, whatever job they're going to do later on in life. That's his goal, is just to develop all around great young women. And he doesn't care about that other stuff. So I hope that answers your question, Ty.
Lauren, speaking of developing young women, I was telling Ty earlier, I have a two-year-old, a little girl named Grace. And I was telling Ty earlier that when I think about like what I want to do I want to be a dance mom or a soccer mom? I would much rather sit in a warm gym watching her play volleyball than sit outside freezing watching soccer. So what did Coach Cook, how did he work with you from a young age to develop those skills?
That's a great point. You definitely want to be a volleyball mom. Those are the best moms.
Yeah.
You get to hang out in a warm gym all day. However, you have to, there are some tournaments that last, you know, all day and they go over, you know, three or four days. So, and there's a lot of travel, but it's definitely worth it. Anyways, when I was young, he was, and I have some pictures. I can try to send them to you guys if you want to post them, but I was maybe like two. And my parents would just blow up balloons and we would go around the house working on my platform with a balloon. They call it your shape when you're setting my shape, my arm swing. And then as I would get older, I mean, I spent a lot of time in the gym. I was a gym rat. I would go to almost every practice. I would be running around asking people, it's called Pepper, and you have a partner and one passes and then the other one sets and then the other one tacks. You'll see the Huskers doing it in warmups. So I would go around and I would always be asking people, will you pepper with me? Will you pepper with me? And I was probably just so annoying to be around at that age. And then I remember, you know, going around the house, practicing my approach, even though I wasn't an attacker, an outside hitter, right side hitter, I would just go around the house practicing left, right, left. And then this is a great story, but I was in high school and I was setting against, my parents had, it was like a square arch that led from the kitchen to the living room area. And on this, it was the arch. And then there was like about 3 feet of ceiling between, this is hard to explain, but between the arch and then the top of the ceiling. So I had, it was like a blank wall. And then there was just this one antique clock. And it was actually a clock that my parents got for their wedding. It was a wedding present. And my mom had it there. And then there was a bunch of blank wall space. So I would always use that part of the wall to set on. And I never hit the clock. You know, I was always really careful. Well, one day I was setting against this and my mom would always tell me, and my dad too, you know, you got to stop setting on the walls because you're going to break something. And I was setting, practicing my, you know, my hand placement and just, you know, putting in some extra, getting some extra reps. And sure enough, I hit the clock and it was like in slow motion. It came off the wall and it hit the floor and it just went everywhere. Oh my gosh. My parents were so mad at me and I felt so bad because it's not like you can just go to Target and get another one of those. I mean, this was a wedding gift and it was an antique clock and it was a beautiful clock. And, I think they'll be mad at me for the rest of my life for that.
Well, maybe he kind of gave you some grace there because you were actually practicing volleyball, you know?
Exactly. If I wouldn't have been sitting on that wall, who knows if I ever would have been able to play in college. So
yeah,
it was all about the extra reps.
You know, and Lauren, you made your dad and mom grandparents this last year. Do you see a different side of them? I mean, do you catch your dad like teaching baby Madden arm swings or?
Oh yeah. First of all, he FaceTimes. He's not the type who FaceTimes. He normally just calls or texts because he's such a busy guy. I mean, he doesn't have time to FaceTime. He FaceTimes me every single day. And I mean, we live in the same city. We live about 10 minutes from each other. So he FaceTimes every day. He's like, how's baby Madden? Madden is my daughter's name. So he goes, how's baby Madden? I need to see her. You know, what's she doing today? How'd she sleep last night? Then he's texting reports like, you know, did she do anything new today? And he started following, or he downloaded some baby app. So it's like different milestones, like week one, here's what your baby's doing. Week two. So he sends me updates like, here's what Madden should be doing this week. And here's what you should be doing with her. And then of course he wants to see her, you know, every night. So for example, after the Ohio State loss, he called me on the way home. He goes, I need you to bring Madden over tomorrow. I need baby therapy.
Oh, that's so
I'm like, we will be over whatever time you need us. So he loves her, and it's so funny. When he's playing with her, he's like, okay, here's how we swing at a volleyball. And he's working on her left hand because he wants her to be a lefty. And then here's another funny story. I'm just babbling here and going off in all different tangents, but I hope you guys appreciate these stories.
Love it. Love it.
Yeah, we
so
do.
When he's talking to Madden, he says, oh, you're such a big girl. Like, oh, you know, you're rolling over now. Like you're doing a big girl roll. Or, oh, I've sent him a picture of her sitting in our bed up against our pillow. He goes, oh, Madden's in the big girl bed. And oh, Madden's doing, you know, big girl talk. And that's kind of like his, I don't know, it's just a cheesy thing, but he always says that with everything. So he was in practice one day, and I actually had to interview Nicklin Hames for something after practice that day. So I was interviewing Nicklin, and Nicklin goes, Lauren, I have to tell you this story. I'm like, oh gosh. She goes, so we're in practice today, and Coach Cook is talking about blocking, and you know, he's going through like keys for that week and the opponent that they're playing. And he goes, all right, we're going to work on our big girl block today, just like Madden, because Madden's a big girl, and she was in the big girl bed this morning. So we're going to do our big girl block, block today. And Nicklin's like, everyone's just looking around like he's lost it. And Nicklin goes, he's standing there cracking up, you know, all by himself, laughing so hard, thinking he's so funny. And the rest of the team is just like, he has gone to a different level and he's lost it. So I know he shares pictures of her with the team, and he's just so proud. And it's just really cool to see him in this different role that he's never been in before.
That is so awesome. Congratulations. And what a special time for you and your family.
Well, should we talk about our trivia game? We're going to mix up the trivia a little bit. And I think Lauren's listened to a little bit of our prior podcast, so she knows what this is all about. But we are going to twist it up a little bit today. So to recap, for listeners who haven't heard our prior podcast, we go through a trivia game with each episode, and we mix it up a little bit each week. And if somebody is successful in the trivia game, we donate $100 from our bank to the charity of their choice. Well, I think our first five episodes, we had winners and we were able to deliver those donations. And then last episodes just didn't quite work out, which means the pot has rolled to $200. And so Danielle and Kim and I were talking about, well, how should we do trivia? What should we do trivia about with Lauren? And something that I think is unique about our bank is that we really focus on who we are and what's important to us. And we think there's similarities with what goes on in the Nebraska athletic programs with that. And Kim, do you want to talk a little bit about SWASIS and those culture statements?
Sure. Well, as Ty mentioned, these are derived by our employees. And we have a meeting every week that we celebrate our culture, and we do shout outs, and employees will share tidbits or shout outs or kudos that they see other employees who are embracing the culture. And we celebrate that. It's core to our everyday, because we feel like it not only does it embrace amongst our employees, but also our customers can see it too. So we have that meeting every week, and it's 11 minutes. We never go very long, but it's very meaningful and powerful.
Yeah. And so to touch on those culture statements real quick, here's what we're going to do today for the trivia game. We're going to go through, and the word SWASIS that Kim used is our acronym for our culture statements. And we're going to give Lauren two words. So Danielle is going to give Lauren two words, one of which is our culture statement. And what we would like Lauren to do is tell us the word of the two that most represents the Husker volleyball program. And what we're looking for is we're curious about how many of them will match with our banks. And then I think based on how many of those match is going to be the payoff on the trivia game. I think that's right, isn't it, Kim?
Yeah.
Okay,
right.
So let's give this a try. Lauren, is all that clear? Did I explain that well enough?
Yeah, Ty, can I add something in? If I win, I'll throw in an extra $100 to the charity that I'll be donating to.
Wow.
So maybe you should just kind. Maybe you should just let me win.
Well, I think this is a no losing proposition, but I'm
too competitive to lose. So yeah. Can't let me lose.
We're going to be talking about that on one of them. So, I guess drum roll here, Danielle, are you ready?
Okay. So the first set of words is service or strength. Mm. So remember, it's just which one of the words most closely represents the culture at an Husker Nation or Husker Volleyball?
Service.
Great. Yay. That's a match.
That's a match.
Woo!
Our culture statement service, we exceed the need. Nothing is beyond us. It's something that we definitely value and we work hard toward every day. Can you tell us a little bit about service in as it relates to the Huskers?
When I think of service in Nebraska volleyball, I think of, you know, serving the teammate next to you. And it's all about, you know, making them better and helping them whatever they need. If, you know, if they need a coffee date, something outside of volleyball, someone to talk to, or if it's on the court and, you know, maybe as a setter, maybe you just set a ball and a hitter made a mistake and you know, it was their fault, but maybe they need you to say, hey, it was my bad because they're feeling the pressure, whatever it may be. So just, kind of being, that's how I see service in terms of Nebraska with Nebraska volleyball.
That's awesome. That's so apparent. Yeah.
Okay. The next set of words is win or wisdom?
Win.
We figured you'd get that one. Yeah. Huh? Yeah. Kim one time covered our culture statements with a group of our Nebraska University students. And when she described it, she said, we want to be the biggest and the best, and we make no bones about it. And I just love that description. I thought it was great.
And that's Husker volleyball.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. All about winning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. The next word is ambition or attitude?
Attitude.
That's great. We've got awesome. three matches.
Yeah.
Attitude is ours. We believe, we love the saying, be humble, be hungry, be smart. We talk a lot about being humble and giving credit where credit is due and that everybody truly contributes to our success. So
yeah. And smart, maybe just to expand in just a little bit, you know, smart is, I mean, we want to be book smart, but people smart is so extremely important. And you see that in Husker volleyball and the culture and just what you were just talking about, Lauren, about serving each other. And, you know, that's really what we mean smart is being people smart. So,
okay. Community or capable?
Community.
Yay. I was right.
Community as well. We, and Kim, why don't you talk about community?
Well, you know, when I think of that, I think we are a part of something more than just ourselves, than just our department, than just our area, than just our branch in our case. And so we're a part of a community. We're part of the Husker Nation. You know, we just have to think beyond just what our role is and that we are part of something bigger than ourselves. So that's what I think of when we talk about community.
Okay. Experience or expertise?
Ooh, I'm going to say experience.
This one was a tricky one.
It was.
Yeah, it was.
Ours is expertise. Okay. And Kim, when we were talking about this one, it was interesting because she talked about with expertise how the Husker volleyball program is. Go ahead, Kim.
So talented and so much depth, and and you know,
the attention to detail.
And you know, I was sharing with these guys in your dad's book when he talked about Hannah Worth's stress fractures in her feet, and it was a trainer who discovered that she had a scar on her chin that was distorting her vision, and you put goggles on her and she, you know, did fantastic and quit having the stress fractures. And so I was telling these guys the attention to detail throughout the entire Husker program is amazing. Because I think that was a trainer that picked up the scar on her chin.
Yeah. It's Ron Ruska. He's like a, I'm not sure what his exact title is, but he does some crazy things. Total side note, but he'll like, if you're having back pain, it's because your right foot is, you know, maybe pronating when you're walking, and it's then causing your left shoulder to change your vision. And then your vision, I mean, it's just like the craziest things your back isn't hurting because it's something wrong with your back. I mean, it's other parts of your body that are causing your back to hurt. So it's just amazing what he's able to do. But yes, he does. I'm impressed you remembered that and you read that, Kim. Good job. Kudos to you.
Well, and you know, I think about the working parts here at the bank and the expertise and how many we have behind the scenes as well, you know, whether it's our IT department or our doc prep or whatever it is, every single job is critical our success, and we all need to be moving in the right direction. And obviously you see that in Husker Nation.
It's a team within a team.
Yeah.
You know, we actually thought that was one we might differ a little bit on. So let's go back to experience that you selected. Walk us through what that means on the team. And I'm particularly interested in what type of people, or what is it, more upperclassmen that typically do take on that leadership role within a team?
I would say for the most part, it is upperclassmen, especially when it comes to captains. I mean, we saw Nicklin was a captain last year, and that she was pretty young to be a captain, but they were trying to mold her for, you know, for the rest of her career. And I think normally you see, I was a captain, but it wasn't until my senior year. So normally it is those upperclassmen. But when I think of experience, I think of, and we'll go back to Ohio State, because that's a perfect example. The experience was, you know, Nebraska won that first night and then they came back and lost the second night. And it was a 5-set match and it was a close match. And I think you go through those experiences and sometimes they're tough to go through and it challenges you, but that's how you grow. And I think that match and that experience is, yes, it's, even though we hate losing and it's tough to lose, that's going to help Nebraska later on in the tournament. Something, you know, that they took from that match or something that they took from that experience is going to help them down the road. And maybe it's not in the NCAA tournament. Maybe it's, you know, 10 years down the road, some life event that they're going through, you know, because they endured that loss and that experience, it's just going to help them in the future. So that's how I look at it from a Nebraska volleyball standpoint.
That's a great correlation.
I love hearing about the culture. I think there's a lot of lessons that any business can learn from this. So, okay, moving on to our last one, support or spirit?
Support.
Yay.
That is great. Ours too. We truly believe we work as a team. And one of the statements that I love is be protective of and value one another. And I think that's very true for our bank. And you've talked about, even with our first one, service and how you serve the others on the team. So I think that that's one that we definitely share and have in common.
Yeah.
I mean, just looking at Nebraska volleyball, Kim, you mentioned this, you know, with Ron Ruska being a support, another trainer as part of the support staff, but there's so many people that help make Nebraska volleyball as successful as it is, whether it's, you know, the director of ops, whether it's their psychiatrist, whether it's, you know, their athletic trainer or an assistant coach, or even a grad manager. I mean, they have, or a student manager who are playing against some of these girls in practice and trying to help them prepare for whoever they're playing that week. I mean, there's so many different support people who don't get talked about every day, but who are such a critical part of the program. Mm-hmm.
Well, you just won $500 for a charity of your choice. And thank you for your generous match. That's mm-hmm. amazing. So who would you like to donate to?
Well, I'm going to tell you guys, I am a dog. Well, I'm an animal lover, but specifically dogs. And I want to go really quick. I want to go back to a community because I think it's so important to, and I was taught this while at Nebraska, but how important it is to give back to the community. Husker Nation does so much for the program that, you know, it's important to give that back. And that's something that Coach Cook really harps on. So while I was a Husker, they have you do a lot of different volunteer opportunities, or they provide you with a lot of different volunteer opportunities. But after playing, I wanted to continue volunteering. So because I love animals, specifically dogs, my husband and I got a dog, and her name's Henley. She's a golden doodle. And what I ended up doing is, we went through training, her and I both, and she's now a certified therapy dog. And she's actually, Kim, you may know this, but she's been at a couple, when they played in Kansas City and won, she was there after team meetings. She would go in and be with the girls and kind of just like help calm them down, help calm their nerves. So she goes to every NCAA tournament. And then sometimes she goes to practices. But more importantly, there's a Madonna Hospital here in Lincoln, which I'm sure you guys are familiar with. They take patients with spinal injuries, brain injuries, I mean, just really severe. They have a peds unit, people who have gone through severe trauma. And there's a program there called Angel Dogs. And Henley and I joined the Angel Dog program. So we actually, before COVID shut all of this down, but we would go to Madonna Hospital and visit the patients there. And they say that, first of all, patients who are in places like that don't get a lot of visitors. So it helps them when they get a visitor. And then it also helps their recovery when something with dogs. There's research that, you know, dogs help them with their recovery and help motivate them and, you know, kind of boost up their spirits. So Henley and I do that and we love it and we're very passionate about it. So because of all of that, I think it's important to give back to the community. And I would also like to donate to, it's the Capital Humane Society. Cause I know there's a lot of dogs that are in need and we do a lot for other humans, but I think animals need support as well. So that's where there, it's about 10 minutes from my house. The exact name of it is the Pylock Pet Adoption Center, but, they take in animals. And before I had Henley, I would go there every week and visit because I feel so bad for these dogs and cats that are there. So I would go and visit, and Jason was always nervous every time because he goes, "What is she going to come home with?"
That's a fantastic story, Lauren, and just says so much about you as a person and that you were able to take your love for animals and help others. It just says so much about you.
Yeah, it's really rewarding. Henley enjoys it. And I hope COVID starts going away because we sure do miss going and volunteering there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm excited. I mean, for five of the values of the Husker program to match ours, it doesn't surprise me because I think we're built from a lot of the same cloth as the Husker volleyball program is. But we're thrilled to donate $500 to them in your name as just a very small token of thanks for your time today. It's just been a real joy to talk to you, Lauren. I really enjoy getting to meet you.
Well, thank you again for having me on. Anytime you guys want to chat, I'm just a phone call away. Kim knows how to get a hold of me. So,
oh, thank you so much. This is just such a joy. Thank you.
Okay, well, that's a wrap for today. Today's episode is, of course, brought to you by Nebraskan National Bank. We are member FDIC and equal housing lender. Learn more about Nebraskan Bank podcast at www.nebraskanbank.com/podcast. If you enjoy tuning in, please leave us a review and find us on Facebook. Thank you for listening to the Nebraskan Bank podcast. Community-minded, every voice, every topic, every time.